Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our virtual church service, thanks to COVID-19, which I'm actually getting a little tired of tolerating, and I'm glad that we have a prayer group to finally put this thing to an end. However, God is still at work, even in the midst of this. He uses all things, works all things together for good, the one who loves us. Our opening scripture this morning is from Psalm 46, verses 1 to 6. And I'm not going to ask you to stand. I couldn't tell if you were standing or not. But we're all, at this moment, are paying attention, taking a few moments to hear the Word of God and to continue to respond to Him in the midst of all things. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 6. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. Would you please join me in a moment of prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your faithfulness in all times, in all situations. I thank you that you are still almighty, even mightier than anything that might attempt to overtake your creation, the earth. Jesus, thank you for meeting with us all the time, and for these few moments, Lord, speak into our hearts the words that you'd have us to hear, the things that you'd have us to know. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and your care. Amen. Announcements, actually, these days will be coming to you mostly via the congregational emails that you receive from time to time. I sent you one last night. I'm not sure I got all my addresses right. I've just moved my place of operation to my home, and that's where this message is coming from now. So I'm sending emails from here too, but I have to recheck that. But keep your eyes open. They'll be coming from time to time. I'm glad for the prayer time that goes on between 5 and 6, which a member of our board has called for, and that's great. Suggested, called for, and we have implemented it. If you can't make this time, please know that God hears and answers prayers 24/7. So sometimes, I know for some, I had one person say that, sir, the time of preparing meals and looking after kids, and that's fine. But know this, that God answers, hears and answers prayer 24/7. And I could ask you if anybody else has any announcements, but that's not going to help. But do please stay in contact with me. I have changed. I mean, you could leave emails at the office, and we will pick them up there as well. But you could also send them to my email here at home, which I think I'll have to send that to you on a congregational email. I don't use it that often that I remember exactly what it is. And always, Gaylene knows everything that I don't, so you can always call her. So the message this morning, carrying on in the book of Revelation, and we're just going to finish up chapter 7 and move into chapter 8 today. And we're at chapter 7, verses 9 to 14. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And take note of Lamb, there's a capital L on that word, and we know what that means. And crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to them, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, the one who cleanses us from all our sin. So the cost and the reward of being saved during the great tribulation are tremendous. Revelation 7:15 to 17, these are the ones that have come out of the tribulation. So now Revelation 7:15 to 17. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to the fountains of waters and wipe away every tear from their eyes. So the Lamb in the midst of the throne, seen in Revelation 5:6, as though it had been slain, is seen here again in Revelation 7, verse 17, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne, same Lamb. So just stop here for a moment. If you did get that last email I sent last night, there will be an attachment there, which is simply a document with all of the scriptures that I'm using today. And if you didn't, I'll try to remedy that this afternoon, so you can go back over this if you want. So this Lamb, capital L, will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. Amazing. The Lamb has become the shepherd. And oh, what a shepherd. Here is the fulfillment of Psalm 23. Let's have a read. I just love how this Bible is always connected. This to that, that to this. Wonderful. One continuous story with many facets. Psalm 23. David wrote this. He realized this. And here is the Lamb that became the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. So here we have these fountains of many waters mentioned in Revelation and here in Psalm 23. And verse 2, where he says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures, that is not a forced posture. That is that when he is around, I am so comfortable with all his provision, I can rest, relax, not worry enough to lie down, even when the enemy lurks and wants to trouble us. He leads me beside the still waters. Lambs won't drink out of running water. They don't like the noise of the water. They can't hear their enemies coming. So he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Not just me, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Revelation 7, verse 17. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I don't understand how this will be. I don't know, but I do know that when God does something, he does it well and thoroughly. Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9 gives us a bit of a clue. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Revelation 8, verses 1 to 2. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. the seal of plagues of Revelation 6 and 7 will happen during the first half of the great tribulation. The trumpet plagues, which take us to the second coming of Christ. So that we have the first seal plagues, which were from Revelation 6, chapter 6 and 7. That's during the first half of the tribulation. And now the trumpet plagues, which will take us to the second coming of Christ. Silence in heaven for about half an hour. What on earth is that about? The angels are overwhelmed. Ever wonder what it would take to overwhelm an angel? It wasn't the plagues that were coming on the earth. Angels have seen and been involved with plagues since creation. Just read the Old Testament. It was the hardness of man's heart. After six of the seven angels brought their plagues, man still did not repent. Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 and 21. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. In verse 2, we have seen seven. So this is why the angels are like, they're aghast. They're like, are you serious? How could they be that unresponsive? So in verse 2, we've seen seven angels with seven trumpets ready to go. But something else needed to happen first. Angels execute the will of God, but they do not initiate it. They execute the will of God, but they do not initiate it. Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Interesting. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. Another word for angel is messenger. This messenger was initiating the will of God. This messenger is Christ. He stands before the altar as our high priest. Take a look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Verses 14 to 16. Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16. Hopefully you're enjoying hearing the sermon this way, in the fact that you can stop me at any time and pick it up when you found a scripture. So there's an advantage to it. Not that I plan on carrying on like this, but the ones doing the praying will see to that. We'll get rid of that COVID-19. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That should sound familiar. That was my take a drink moment. Okay. So he makes intercession for the saints. That's what we see him doing here in Revelation 8:4. The prayers of all the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, no one comes to the Father except through me. And no prayer reaches the Father except for the prayer of faith in the name of Jesus. There's a lot of praying going on in the world today, but if you're just kind of praying to anybody anyway, it's just noise, and it's going nowhere, and it will not be found in Jesus' hand as he brings it before the Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Let's have a look at that. Romans 8, 34. Show you something about God interceding, or Jesus interceding for us. 8:34 reads, "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us." And then Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25. "Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." And here we see this going on in the book of Revelation. It's wonderful how all this comes together. So if you've ever wondered where your prayers go, ever wonder what the right words are to pray, really, it doesn't matter as long as you end with Jesus. He sorts it out for us. Even in those moments when all you can say is, "Jesus, help me," good enough. We don't need to get too fussed about getting our words right and staying in the right place when we pray and looking in the right direction and having the right number of people there as we pray. It doesn't work like that. We can do that, and it's good. Fellowship's always good. So I just found that fascinating, where our prayers go. So, it's good here to remember in all of this, there's Jesus bringing these prayers before the Father. Remember Jesus' first sermon from Mark chapter 1, verse 15? I mentioned it a few weeks ago. "The time is fulfilled." This is reading that scripture. "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." The message is the same here in Revelation as it was in Jesus' first sermon. And the world at this time only has 3.5 years left. Do you think maybe God is liable to do anything to get people's attention? Absolutely. Wouldn't you? If your child was this lost and they only had a certain amount of time to be found, that's when we pull out all the stops. And this is what we're looking at here in these plagues, in this eighth chapter. The message hasn't changed. Neither have very many people. The time is running out. How do I know? It's not a personal observation. It's something I read. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." That's how we know. We will see four trumpet plagues in the eighth chapter. The plagues are coming upon God's creation in order to bring his created mankind to faith in the Creator, who is Christ. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made." Ah, yes. There they are. There he is, working to bring us back to the original fashion, the original creation, one that would honor and allow God to be a part of their life. On the other hand, mankind tends to worship the ground they walk on. They think too much and too often of themselves, and sometimes think, and you've probably heard this expression, Mother Earth is their savior. There's no Mother Earth. There's God the Creator. But anyway, that's how they look at it. So here we see in this eighth chapter, God is going to bring it all to nothing. All of this wonderful creation that he made for his glory, for us to live, he's going to remove. It's his to do with. There's no Mother Earth. This is not punishment. This is a designed crisis in order to bring people to the end of themselves and the end of their crazy thinking. This is God's mercy, not his wrath, and not his judgment. We talk of love sometimes. Well, I believe in the God of love. Absolutely. But do you know what love is? You can't know what love is without God, and this is a part of it. 3.5 years left. He's pulling out all the stops. This is love. You could call it tough love. You can call it whatever you want, but this is love. God's hope is that this will bring the unbeliever to faith in Christ and the believer to the place of realizing the all-sufficiency of Christ. As we have said before, we will never know that Christ is all we need until Christ is all we have. The realization that Christ is our life and all we have will ensure that Christ is always preeminent in all that we are, say, and do. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Absolutely. Maybe we don't like to be overshadowed by anyone. Yeah, that's one of the big problems. We don't like to be overshadowed by anyone. Nobody tells me what to do. Well, being overshadowed by the Almighty is the best place you could go, best place to be. Matthew 24, verses 37 and 28. That 28 doesn't make any sense. Matthew 24, 37 and 38. Okay. Matthew 24, 37 and 38. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. So nothing changed. Everything stayed the same. And this is what we've just read in chapter 8 and chapter 9 of Revelation. Unfortunately, for many, the Great Tribulation will only give occasion for the gospel to be ignored and God cursed even more. Many will simply do their best to carry on as normal. At the time of the flood, only 8 people were saved. But then, if that is just an old Bible story that people think isn't true, why would they be afraid? So now we see the Lord helping people to believe. He's not just trying to scare them. He's trying to help them to believe because there is an end. And at that point in time, they're very, very close to it. Revelation 8, verses 5 and 7. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the 7 angels who had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. A third of the trees burned up. Trees produce oxygen. That's their primary purpose. People with breathing issues will be seriously compromised. We're seeing that some right now with COVID-19, not that this is what's happening now, but it's just a similar kind of a thing. Makes me think of a little sign on the wall beside the cross in our church. Maybe you remember it. When life knocks you to your knees, you're in the perfect position to pray. And that's what we have going on right now around us. Not timeline as to Revelation, but just a similar thing. Revelation 8, verse 8. Then the second angel sounded something like a great mountain burning with fire. And something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. The sea produces evaporation, which produces moisture in the form of rain. One third of the sea turning to blood is going to seriously cut down the amount of rain we receive. But we need rain to live, yes. But more than that, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, we flip to the back of the Bible here. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And really, here at this point in the book of Revelation, so if you don't do that, then all these things may be subtracted from you, so that you can learn to do that. Learn to stop biting the hand that feeds us, as it were, and that would be God's hand. Revelation 8, verse 10. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the streams of water. These plagues are cumulative. It's not one that comes and goes and then another one comes. This is building up. He's throwing it all on the same pile. Revelation 8, 12. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. Sometimes we find living on the West Coast in a rainforest a little depressing. I know it bothers some people if they don't see sunshine. It's going to be worse than that. Nonetheless, this is all giving ample opportunity for people to repent and turn to God. I think the Lord is waiting for people to stop saying, "Oh my God," and start saying, "Oh my God and my Savior, deliver me from sin and myself. Thank you, Jesus." All of this is just the beginning of woes. Amen. Oh, that's our home phone.
Hello.
It's one thing I didn't calculate in doing the sermon. Maria's got it and she's leaving the room. Very good. Okay, so our benediction today is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory to the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Heavenly Father, I thank you for all these people, Lord, that you've called me to be in the midst of. And Lord, I thank you for them and pray that you would bless them and keep them this day, that they would be strong in you and in the power of your might when everything else seems to be falling apart. That your peace, Lord, that passes all understanding, would circumvent all of their worries and trials, and would overpower and overshadow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence at this time. Amen. And I will deliver another one of these for next Sunday morning, and I'm available all week long, and I will be sending you congregational emails. I'm not hiding from you. I'm just hiding from COVID-19 for a bit. Wally will be delivering the sermon next week. I'll see to it that it gets on the web page. And God bless you and keep you during this time. Amen.